Let's pray. Oh, Jesus, we thank you that we are united in you, even as we are scattered. You are with us. You are alive and at work. Come and fill our hearts up with the truth of your word by the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Who is this Jesus? It was the question on everyone's lips during his lifetime. It's the central question of the Gospels. As we turn through the pages, we see everyone wrestling to try to understand his miracles, his incredible teaching, all the things that he's doing. Is he a prophet, a teacher, some kind of revolutionary? In our reading from Acts today, chapter 2, we find what is certainly the very first sermon of the church. And I think it's very telling that the topic of the sermon is nothing more and nothing less than a clear answer to this question. Who is Jesus? This is what the apostles wanted to communicate. It was the gospel. It was framed by the mighty miracle of Pentecost, and it set the church flowing into the world like wildfire. Peter said to the crowd that day essentially this: who is this Jesus? He's the one who was doing incredible things. God was obviously working through him that you killed. But know this, he's not dead anymore. He's alive. But the fact that he's alive, it's not just some random, though very impressive, miracle. It's exactly what David said would happen when the Messiah comes. This isn't something new. It's in perfect continuity with everything God has done. Jesus is the one through whom God is completing all of his plans. He's the one in whom he is revealing at last his perfect faithfulness. We see here in Acts 2 and all the way through the epistles that whenever the apostles wanted to answer the question, who is this Jesus, they pointed back to the Old Testament story. They defined Jesus' identity and mission as the resolution of that story, as its completion, its fulfillment. And I think it's really cool and interesting that even before the New Testament was written, while it was still happening in an age of incredible miracles and works, the church still used Scripture to show the world that Jesus was the Christ, that he was the Lord. They just did it through the Old Testament. That's not something we think about very often. But there's so much there that we're missing if we don't look. As Christians, if we want to understand who we are, we have to know who our Lord is. Of course, we can see this in the New Testament, but if we don't hold all of Scripture together, we're missing something. Jesus wanted us to know this. I think so, because after his resurrection, one of the things that he did was appear to some of his disciples walking to a place called Emmaus. And we're told that on the way, he began with Moses and the prophets, and that just means all the Scripture that existed at that time, to interpret for them all that Scripture said concerning him. Now, we don't have those notes. We wish that we did, but God in his wisdom hasn't given them to us. But I don't think these teachings are lost to us, actually. I think we see them coming through the words of the New Testament writers. I think this is an example here in Acts 2, but there are other places as well. My goal today, of course, I don't have the time or the wisdom to stand up here and show you all the ways that Jesus is revealed in the Old Testament, all the things that he said about himself on the road to Emmaus. But I do want to point to the big picture of the Old Testament and to show you, hopefully to stir up your imagination and provoke your faith to see Christ there. In the Old Testament, God acted to save in many amazing ways. He made incredible promises to the world and to his people. But these acts of salvation and these promises almost always came without final resolution. How strange is that, if that was the whole story? That God's apparent intentions consistently seemed to remain unfulfilled. The gap between God's promises and reality was not lost on his people. They were very aware of it, and it was a huge mystery to them. that had no obvious answers for generations and generations. By the time of Christ, this gap between God's promises and reality had created an incredible uneasiness that was boiling over in Israel, and a lot of people had come up with their own plans to try and bring God's promises to completion. You had the Pharisees, who were trying to follow the law perfectly and trying to make everyone else do the same thing. The Sadducees were trying to work through political machinations, the Zealots were prepared to do it through warfare. The Essenes were trying to bring God's kingdom by retreating into the wilderness and living a perfect life. There were numerous would-be messiahs during this era, over about a 200-year period, who claimed to be the ones that would finally bring God's purposes to completion, gathered followings, but every single one of them ended up dead, and none of them were raised again. In this context, in this this boiling stew of expectation and hope and disappointment, the apostles testified powerfully that Jesus resolved the story of God and his people in a way that nothing else could. Not just once, but over and over again, Jesus was the answer to the question that God's revelation posed. Today, very briefly, I'm just going to look at four of the biggest stories, the biggest narratives that run through the Old Testament to show God's good action, how it was strangely unfinished, and how it was completed, how it was finally completed in Jesus. We'll look at this in Adam, Abraham, Moses, and David. God's saving, beautiful work, how it remains strangely unfinished, but how it was finally completed in Jesus. When we see this, it will reveal to us a clearer picture of who Jesus is, and then also of who we are as a result. So, who is this Jesus? Consider Adam and Eve. Humanity was made in the image of God, and they walked with God. He gave mankind authority over the world. They were meant to reveal his power and goodness, and to extend his order and love to all creation. But there was a rebellion. Even after the fall, mankind continued to carry the image of God. But we reflected his image like a broken mirror. The image was marred and distorted. We continued to have authority on the earth as no other living thing does. But wherever our authority went, there was corruption and brokenness and death instead of the order and love and perfection that was intended. And so throughout the entire Old Testament, the question hovered, how can mankind ever be what he was made to be? How can it be that God's original plan for us would be forever frustrated? The church testified that Jesus was the answer to this very difficult question, that in his perfection, he had solved the riddle. Paul tells us in Romans 5 and in 1 Corinthians 15 that Jesus was the better Adam, all that Adam was meant to be. Jesus resisted every temptation. He was the image of the invisible God, the perfect image bearer, the one who you could look at him and see what God was really like. This is what it means to bear God's image. He was the perfect dominion wielder, the one who accomplished God's purposes perfectly, who God ruled through in a perfect way. And so we're told that just as through Adam's one sin, all humanity was condemned, through Jesus' one great act of righteousness, all of mankind could be saved. Again, we ask, who is this Jesus? Well, consider Abraham. God promised to Abraham that he would be a great nation and that the world would be blessed through him and his descendants. God made Abraham a nation. Israel came into existence. But instead of revealing God to their neighbors, They followed their neighbors. They worshiped their idols and fell into their ways. And so history became a constant fight for survival for the descendants of Abraham, often against the nations. And so the question loomed throughout the history of Israel. Struggling as we do, how can it be true that we are the people of blessing? Well, the church knew that Jesus was the answer to this question, that his mission solved the riddle. Matthew 1 begins by leaning into the truth and showing us that Jesus was the true seed of Abraham. We see Jesus ministering throughout Israel during his lifetime, but we're shown over and over that the salvation that he brought was for the whole world, that it was through him that salvation would come to all mankind. Who is this Jesus? Consider Moses. God's people had been enslaved, but God acted incredibly through the Exodus to free them from slavery, and he promised to be with them forever, to be their God as they were his people. Well, the people of Israel were freed, but again and again they fell back into slavery. They received the temple, but because of their sin, the Spirit of God left the temple. And eventually, they returned to the land and rebuilt the temple. But even once they had the land and the temple back, they recognized that God's presence had not returned and that they were not truly free, which left them asking, how will God ever live among us again? What kind of exodus can free us from ourselves? Well, the church testified that Jesus was the answer to this great riddle, that his victory had solved the question, that Jesus was the greater Moses, that he had led his people through a greater exodus on the cross, that he had passed through death like the Israelites had passed through the Red Sea, leading them not out of mere human slavery, physical chains, but as Paul shows us in Romans 6, he liberated us from slavery to sin and death. Who is this Jesus? Consider David. God made him king, and he promised David unequivocally that David would always have an heir on the throne of Israel, that there would be a king in his line forever, ruling in justice. But we see, almost immediately after David, that the kings do not follow God. They do not rule in the way of David, their father. And after a time, the kingship is taken away. There are no more kings. Leaving God's people to ask, how can God keep his promises when men won't keep theirs? And the most terrible question of all begin to loom. Have God's promises failed? It looked like they had. The people had lost their king, and the land, and the temple, all the things that pointed to God's choosing them, to their mission, to their purpose, to their identity as the people of God. But the church testified that Jesus was the answer, that his identity solved this riddle. Luke shows us that Jesus was a son of David, a child of his house, but he was also the Son of God, resurrected and immortal, the Lord enthroned and reigning forever in righteousness. Who then is this Jesus? He is the true image of God. He is God's blessing to the whole world. He is the liberator of souls, the breaker of eternal chains, the righteous King whose rule is forever. Who then are we? If we look back to the story of Adam, we see that in Christ, we are the renewed humanity, restored to its original purpose, By God's power, we have been enabled again to know God, to walk with him, and called to reveal him to the world through our lives, to bear his image rightly. We are the agents of his authority, given dominion to see his will done on earth as it is in heaven. Remembering Abraham, we see that we are the ones that God has extended his blessing to. We are the ones who have been included in this great blessing. And that we have been blessed to be a blessing. That we have been made a nation of priests and kings for the benefit of the whole world. This is who we are. Remembering Moses, we see that we were once slaves, but we are people who have now been forever freed. That we have been called never more to return to the slavery of sin and death. For it's for freedom that we have been set free. This is God's purpose in us. And like Israel, we have been called to remember that we were once slaves, so that we will have pity on those who remain enslaved and help them find their way to the one who gives eternal freedom. Remembering David, we see that we are the children, the heirs of the righteous and eternal King, that we are the ones who get to live under his good rule, who are shielded by his protection and called to represent him and extend his authority into the world, to live out thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, thy kingdom come. And I know this is a lot of information, a lot of different pictures. My hope is that one of them or some part of this larger picture will stick with you and provoke you and reveal something to you that God wants to show you. But a way of kind of drawing them all together is to show that there are two commonalities to each one of these stories revealed in the story of Adam, Abraham, Moses, and David. In each one of these, through Christ, we can see that our relationship to God has been restored and that we have been called and enabled to participate in God's purposes in the world. We have been saved and we have been commissioned. We are loved and we are empowered to act. This is who we are, redeemed and on mission with God. Friends, everything's so strange right now. Our lives have been shaken up. But the shaking presents an incredible opportunity to pause for a moment and ask the question, what's been going on in my life? All of the activity that stopped, what was it all about? Have the things that make up my life been in keeping with who Jesus really is and with who he has made me to be? Have they contributed to what he has invited me to be a part of? The sermon today, more than anything, is an invitation to see who we really are in Christ so that we can turn away from anything less than the dignity and blessing and freedom that are truly ours in him. And to turn toward who we really are, who we really have been made into what we have been called to do, united to Christ, sharing his purposes. So I invite you, if this time has created some space in your life, to use it to reflect on what makes up your life and on who you really are. And I hope that you'll return to some of these Old Testament passages with Jesus in mind to see who he really is and who you really are. Because his invitation to you is that you would live in that truth and walk in it. Lord Jesus, we pray by the power of your Holy Spirit. You have accomplished all these things. It's not something we're going to do by our own effort. So by the power of your Holy Spirit, allow us to see and live the incredible destiny that is ours in you, eternal King and Savior. Amen.